This is the State of the Union meeting on June 27th, 2026. And with that said, we're going to open up with a prayer. And Keith, if you want to do the prayer for us.
Yes, sir, I'd be honored. Our Heavenly Father, we just thank you right now. We come with our arms lifted up and in praise. And we thank you, Lord, for the blessings that you have bestowed upon us, the ones that we see and the ones that we don't see that you're working for us. You're opening doors for us, Lord, that we're supposed to walk through, and you're shutting doors that we're not supposed to go through, Father. And we thank you for that. We thank you for your precious Holy Spirit, Lord, your power here on earth. Most of all, we praise you for your grace and your mercy, even Jesus the Christ. We thank you so much for your love and your kindness to us. You're a good God. We just ask that you would cover and bless our meeting, cover and bless Brother Rocky tomorrow, and all the leadership that we have going on in our American State Nationals, American State Citizens. Father God, we just believe that your power from on high through the Holy Spirit here on earth will magnify and move forward our government and our finances, continue to bless our health. Watch over our loved ones at home. Watch over our dwellings, we pray, that the hedge of protection, even the precious blood of Jesus, would be around us all. In the name of Yeshua, we say that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Keith. Okay. We're going to turn the meeting over to Mara, which is the coordinator for this meeting. And at this time, now, Mara, go ahead.
Everyone's doing great today. So let's start with the business decision. This meeting is private. Bearing false witness, misrepresentation, and posting inflammatory rhetoric in public forums is forbidden and shall be addressed in an appropriate manner. To eliminate all conflict and false allegations, is there anyone in attendance at today's meeting that is a member or agent of any law enforcement agency or public agency of the federal, state, county, city, or township agencies present? Is there a response to the Bivens decision? Is there a second response to the Bivens decision? Is there a third response to the Bivens decision? Anyone who is here under false pretenses, anyone who is working for any foreign government, including the territorial United States or municipal United States, anyone who is being paid or coerced to be here, must fully disclose their presence and purpose now, or leave the premises or conference call. If they subsequently show up as a federal witnesses, they are discredited for failure to disclose. Okay, like Rocky said, there's a lot that we have to go over today. And the first thing that we're going to start with is about Michael Trigger Wilson, his last recording. And it's about an email. We got the transcript from his recording. And it's also under our download, so if you could please read it and watch, it would really help out a lot so you can understand what is happening. And Rocky will share the screen for us. I have printed it out, and a couple of things that we wanted to go over. With the transcripts, and like I said, you know, you can read the whole thing. It's about 5 pages, I believe, yourself. But there are some highlighted things that we can talk about. And the first one is right about the fourth and fifth minute. The faction that's declaring themselves an independent state believes the Federation runs Nevada. And like we've explained many times also before, at no time do the people in Nevada believe the Federation runs anything in Nevada. Also, Nevada is not a freestanding sovereign union state. It may be a union state and a state of the union. Michael, and we'll just call him Michael Wilson from now, or Michael, so I don't have to say all three names every time. He mentioned and said that we, the Nevada state, is actually a freestanding sovereign union state. And we just want to make clear that that is not what we are. You know, as we said before, we are a union state, and State of the Union. The next transcript, about 7 minutes. He says, the Federation appointed coordinator is claiming state authority, which he's talking about me. And at no such time have I ever said that I'm claiming state authority. I am standing up as a state coordinator to chair the meeting when people request, like today. I am not installed by faction vote without Sue. Sue is not the one that picks coordinators or removes coordinators. So we have to explain again that previously when the Continental Marshals were understaffed, that the state took over the vetting, but the Continental Marshals are back in effect. They are fully staffed, and they requested everyone to go through the vetting again, even the previous coordinator. So I have gone through the vetting April 23rd. And also through an approval. So we do not go through the state anymore. So we're explaining again that it's not Sue, it's not the North that's doing the vetting anymore. It's the Continental Marshals. About 8 minutes, there a couple people are saying again, Michael is saying that he does not remember anybody coming forward in the Nevada Assembly meeting to become a coordinator and go through their state vetting. I have asked Sue in the meeting, I believe it was in February or beginning of March, to be a coordinator, and Sue helped me to get to Lisa Schaefer's classes. So went through email and everything, and I started to do the coordinator classes and the recording secretary classes with Lisa. So again, It's a federation position, and we go through Continental Marshal and Anna. So, you know, there's no authority from the state. And this is, you know, and he also explained, which is correct, that none of the coordinators have authority of any kind. So not Rocky, not Sue, not I, you know, it's all about the people. We, the people, are making decisions together, changes together. It's not any three of us. We are here to present your information, or if you have any questions, the coordinators will try to find the answers for you, and that's what we're doing. Or we, you know, are moderators for the meetings. That's what we do. About 10 minutes in, that we did raise our hand and we declared as a Nevada Assembly. So he's just saying that just because we had a meeting at just a small group and we just raised our hands, so that means we're Nevada Assembly, and he is disagreeing with that. What was said is that everyone in Nevada that has done their paperwork in the Nevada Assembly, if they are, they can wear the hat as a state, as a man or woman, and Rocky has explained also in last meeting. Everyone in the state that makes up the Nevada Assembly. So it's not just a couple of people. It's all of us that make up the state of Nevada. Let's see. And I think we go next, Rocky, I think 14th minute? Yeah.
Yep.
And then he is mentioning, he states that the people in the Assembly have no jurisdiction or standing over a seat or seated assembly elected man or woman. We explained to him again that, you know, he will need some training on how the assembly is ran and who has the jurisdiction over its assembly officers. The people that have done their paperwork and live in Nevada have all the standing and jurisdiction to election and remove anyone in an office in the assembly. About 15 minutes. He said, Michael states that authority to constitute an assembly derives from established process, vetting, recording, election, not from a single meeting's enthusiasm. If he was around long enough, the assemblies were created by a few people in the state. It is the people that determined the assembly. There was no process, vetting, recording, or election to create and run an assembly. And again, like we always say, what has been done can be undone by the people. And again, people need to understand a lot has changed in this past year specifically, especially as of January 1st. So I know sometimes changes are hard and we're not used to it and why, but we do change, we learn more, there's more information, and we just have to learn to adapt. And if you anytime have a question or concern, you know, please, you know, tell us and then we can find out. But we need to learn how to adapt with the new information, with the new processes, with the guidebooks and all that, like we always say. So things will change and it constantly will change. So don't get frustrated. Just understand that, you know, we're learning and we're moving forward. At the 18th minute, Michael said, you know, Void Act cannot seat an assembly over people who never consented. The people are not consenting to what is going on, so your Void Act cannot seat the assembly. As you say, what was never valid cannot be made valid by repetition or volume. And I, like I said, I would highly suggest for you to read everything so you truly understand what is happening. At the 20th minute, he's talking again about, in the transcript, about the fraudulent act for trying to shut down the domain, the Nevada Assembly gov.land. He's saying that it's a win that they shut it down, but we're not shut down. We're back up and running.
You hang on to tomorrow. Yeah. What I'm going to show everybody right now, because he said that, remember the website that we had, the Nevada Assembly gov.land was shut down. Oops, hang on a minute. That's the website. It is not shut down. Okay, go ahead, tomorrow.
At about 25 minutes, Sue starts talking in the meeting, and she is basically saying that we are creating a duplicate assembly. That is not what is happening. The people are just taking back their assembly that they are trying to destroy. And like we said, when people do not have access to certain meetings or calls, it's more like a social club, and that's not what we are. We are a government, and we are not creating anything. We are not a district assembly. That is correct. That is incorrect. At 26 minutes, Michael states that about us, you know, having a kind of a power position. Again, we do not have power position. We are coordinators. And there's a lot of information that Anna speaks about and coordinates or who want to be coordinators are on that call. And we ask a lot of questions and we go through everything. So everything that we are doing is by Anna's teaching and we take pride in that. And that's exactly what we're going to keep on doing. And then at the 33rd minute, Michael says that we're always welcome to help. And again, you know, and the only problem is every time we ask for help, then we always get shut down. And if something happens, we just cannot access our meetings. And we found out that a lot of people cannot access the meetings or the calls. And that's something we also have to be working on. But that's about it. And like I said, you know, please watch that recording so you understand what is happening again.
Tomorrow, I want to say a little bit about the 33 here.
Yeah.
What he's saying, it says Michael goes on to say that we welcome help when we ask for it. It accept. If you are meddling in International Assembly matters, it is declined and documented and offer assistance and we may accept it and assert authority and we evoke it. So what he's saying here is like, they'll ask for help, but if they don't like your help, they're going to stop you. If you try to do something that oversteps whatever they're doing, they're going to use their authority, they're going to assert authority and revoke anything you do. This is not who we are. We don't tell people what to do. We don't, you know, ask for help and then because we don't like your help, then shut you down. This is proof right here that that's what they're doing. He just said it out loud, what they're doing in trying to stop us from helping. And, you know, it's up to the people now to take back their government. The other thing that, see if I can find, this right here is the video. And again, it's on the, if I go to the website, this one here. So if you go to the U.S. downloads, that's this the first video here. That's the militia meeting MP4. The second one is the transcript. The third one we're going to play here in a minute, which is me asking Anna about what Michael is doing. The third one here, which we're going to go into, actually we can go into that right now, tomorrow. If you read the transcript, what he says is that because they have some fictitious name or whatever that they own the Nevada Assembly, okay? This was done, see if I can blow it up here so you can all can see it. This was done from Craig back in 2021, December 16, 2021. And if you read this, it says certificate of business, fictitious name, a firm name. The undersigned to hereby certify that they are conducting business in Nevada under the fictitious name, the Nevada Assembly. And that's the mailing address. The owner, the sole proprietary recorded lawful entity is the Federation of the United States, is the one that owns that name. And we'll get to more of that. And it was signed by Robert Hell and Michelle Schmidt at that time. And then it goes on to say that the owners of the Federation of the United States, and if you read right here, it says, and the people of Nevada. That means every one of you guys own that name. That's who the Nevada Assembly is each and every one of you. You own that name. You're allowed to use that name in your business as the Nevada Assembly. And then it went on to say, by signing this above, they declare or affirm under penalty of perjury that the statements made in this document are true, and I have authority to sign on the behalf of and the binding of the above named business legally entity to be correct. So, and then it lists the two names here, and then it was the recording secretary signed it, which was Craig Schmidt. This is who owns the Nevada Assembly. So whatever they're saying or whatever they're telling you about how they own it, there's only one Nevada Assembly. There is only one Nevada Assembly, and that's the one that the people belong to, they own, right? This document proves that. This document is in that downloads. So if I go back to the download here, I think that's actually where I pulled it up from, right here, which is the one, two, three, fourth one down, where it says fic name. That is the actual name. The last one here is what Tamara was going over, where me and Tamara sat down and went through the transcript of the video, of this video here. Basically, I ran a program on it, which created a transcript from it, and the transcript is, hang on here, this right here. This is the audio file, which is us telling you, which is the militia meeting. And this is basically, it just takes, you know, like speaker one, which is Michael, and it goes through each one of these. And each time somebody speaks, and it, you know, writes down whatever they said. So it's pretty accurate. You know, you can follow watching the video and reading the transcript. But this is the actual meeting and what went over. And I suggest that you guys all listen to this meeting. It may make you upset or not. I don't know. Depends on what you think about it. But again, you know, we're going to go a little farther here. Is we're getting emails and stuff. This was an email from Fa'ana. I was trying to talk to her earlier just to see if I could show this, but she hasn't said anything. So basically, that's also in here, so you guys can go, you know, that's this second one from the last year, is what she says about what's going on. Okay, I'm going to get back to you, Dr. Mara. Said my points.
And like we talked about, and what I keep asking in the other meetings with the emails that I'm receiving, I keep asking, who is the Nevada Assembly? And I never receive an answer. I also keep asking different questions about, like, the charts, the positions, who is in what position. I still do not receive an answer. So I'm trying, you know, for everyone to understand. So we keep trying. I'll keep doing my best with that. But, you know, I need everyone to understand, you know, who is the Nevada Assembly? Rocky has explained many times. I'm also explaining, you know, we the people are. It's not just a couple people north, couple people south, or where we are. It's all of us in our Nevada state. And you showed the documents and everything. Do you have anything else to say, Rocky?
At this point, you guys can go over these documents and whatever, but because of what he's doing, I actually want to play a video first, and then I would like him to make a move from you all. So here's the video first. I'm going to play it.
Schaefer.
Hang on a minute here.
How you doing, Eric? Something going on in December. This has to do with what is Maria Melissa Mathers.
And the person you see in the video right now, that's Lisa Schaefer. She is from Ohio State.
You know, from what I understand, is you know, like finding the CPR glasses and survive in different situations and that kind of stuff. My question is the Melissa Commander a law enforcement officer?
No.
Is the Melissa Commander should be running the General Assembly?
No.
Does the Melissa Commander be noticing people in the Assembly?
No. Not unless it's something like, you know, announcing we're going to have a class, you know, or, you know, something of that sort. But even then, the militia commander needs to work closely with the General Assembly and make sure that everybody knows what's going on and that the action is approved by the whole assembly, especially if it's going to involve public outreach. And we just had a big question about this in one of the other states. An event was planned by the militia commander. He was going to have a public event that involved outreach at his home, at his farm, and the public was invited. But the outreach committee was not involved. And the General Assembly never voted on any of this, and there was no official agenda or program for this event submitted to the General Assembly. And yet the General Assembly was the quote-unquote sponsoring organization, and they were expected to pay for the advertising and things like that. And no, the militia is a part, a subpart of the General Assembly. as I have explained many times. And the militia needs to work with the General Assembly, because the General Assembly is ultimately responsible for the actions of the militia, not the other way around. And what you wind up with are situations where skullduggerous, scheming federal agencies are sometimes caught doing very nefarious things to try to mislead, implicate, or accuse our assemblies and our members of doing things that they aren't doing or wouldn't do, except that they're being misled. And we've had some very notable examples where especially the FBI will hire or coerce someone to act as a snitch and infiltrate our organization and do things that are an attempt to mislead our assemblies into taking actions that can be interpreted as illegal or insurrectionist activities against the government. And I will just very briefly describe, you know, two or three of the sorts of things that we've had to deal with in the past. There was a young man named Shaver Cox here in Alaska, very young man, but an eloquent and patriotic speaker who knew his Constitution well and who still had the naive assumption that the government was our government and not a government subcontractor. The FBI got hold of the man who had a federal criminal history already and caught him doing something else and threatened him into being a snitch and infiltrating the group around Schaefer and getting Schaefer to talk about a contingency plan in the event that some other thing happened. Now, there was no evidence whatsoever of anyone moving a finger toward actually implementing anything or doing anything related to this plan, but nonetheless, because this quote-unquote contingency plan based on an event that hadn't happened and probably wouldn't happen, involved kidnapping a federal judge. And just because they got Schaefer to talk about this in a theoretical context, they threw the book at him, and he's serving a 26-year sentence, effectively for a thought crime, which, of course, is not anything under American law, is not a common law result, but nonetheless, they tried him as a British subject. And this is the pretense under which they're holding this young man away from his family. Another really blatant thing happened where one of our coordinators was targeted. And the FBI and other agents came onto her land. She had a situation where she had like 40 or 50 acres of land, and she couldn't see part of her land from her house. It was over a rise and a bunch of trees and whatnot. She couldn't see what was going on in the back 10 acres or so. So they went in there at night with equipment, and they dug a hole, and they installed a weapons cache with grenades and all sorts of things that, you know, people aren't supposed to have, blah, blah. And they were setting her up as a terrorist, building a weapons cache, and they were setting up her assembly as an insurrectionist group, and they would have gotten away with it, except that one of our continental marshals was keeping a close eye and caught them at it. So what was an embarrassment for them could have easily erupted into a tragedy for her and for her assembly. Then, you know, we had the example of the Colorado Nine. These were people in Colorado who were you know, extremely well-versed in constitutional and common law, but again, we're in that in-between land where they were still thinking that the government was our government, and not that they weren't dealing with a foreign bunch of subcontractors, right? And so they had all of this, all these beliefs about the law and about America and about justice and an FBI snitch from Texas named Michael Hamilton, who admitted to being a federal insurance agent, came up to Colorado and got everybody all hyped up and angry and you know, wanting to assert their rights. And he got them to walk into a foreign courtroom and threaten, or appear to threaten, the judge with constitutional law and demands to perform. And they wound up with 36-year sentences. Okay, so, and I tried to talk them out of it. I tried to explain why that was not something they should or could do safely, but nobody listened to me. So I hope you're all listening to me now.
Exactly.
Their name of the game is to create these sorts of situations where they have an excuse to claim that we are an insurrectionist group, and that we are violent, and that we're, you know, plotting criminal actions against, you know, whomever, politicians, judges, you know, district attorneys, anybody that they can target or that they can claim we threatened. Okay? Now, they have all the guns. They have tanks. They have drones. They have poison gas. They have flamethrowers, and we've seen the flamethrowers because they used them in Waco, Texas, and got away with it. So it is not to our advantage to give them any excuse whatsoever to presume that we are violent or anything, but a peaceable assembly guaranteed our right to peaceable assembly.
Right.
It is not to our advantage to arm ourselves. It is not to our advantage to have any idea that men with squirrel rifles are going to stand up against modern warfare. Okay? So what we have to do is, just as the Bible says, to be gentle as doves and wise as serpents.
Okay.
And keep working. And keep that discipline to remain peaceable and to keep making the kinds of progress that are beneficial to us no matter what happens. And that includes community preparedness for disasters. That includes, you know, gun safety classes. It includes first aid knowledge. It includes radio communications and digital scanning technologies. It really includes all these areas where we can keep communicating, we can keep working together, and we can keep benefiting each other as a group. Okay, Right, and the PKTF is a federation-level communications provider and networker, so that, well, for example, say that three counties in Illinois are impacted by a flood. Okay? The concept behind the PKTF is that the PKTF knows everybody who's in a position to help. And when that becomes a problem, they're on the phone.
Exactly.
They're calling everybody. They're bringing in the state militia. They're bringing in the National Guards. They're, you know, they're talking to the governor's office. They're coordinating with FEMA. They're coordinating with, you know, the Department of Natural Resources. They're getting DOT on the job, right? They're moving these things around to coordinate a multilateral, multi-jurisdictional response to a common problem.
Right. But my word for what the militia really should be is protect the people. And whatever resources or disasters or whatever happens, shouldn't be going after all of them. And on top of that, the question I have, if a person is working for their district attorney, can he be the militia?
No. Well, in what capacity is he working for the district attorney?
Exactly. Well, he said he works for David Cody, a scriber or writer. So I don't know the exact word or what he's doing. But he's writing, I think what his ability is writing summons and stuff.
He's a process server. I apologize.
Okay.
Thank you, Bob.
You know, a lot of people are process servers because it's extra money for their families. And, you know, it's just like any other job. The concern would be, is he sharing information with the district attorney that in any way is private information of his or other people? Is he engaged in a targeting program?
Those are concerns.
I think there's grounds for a conflict of interest there.
Okay, I'm going to stop it right there. And what she's saying is because he is working for the district attorney and whatever that she feels it is a conflict of interest, I think it is too. And it's up to all you guys to decide that or not. But I want to make a move because of what's going on as to remove him as the militia commander.
Rocky, before we do this, could you just, because it was hard to hear, could you just tell everyone what your questions were in the beginning of the video?
Okay. My first question was, let me think now. My first question was, is the militia commander a law enforcement officer in the state? She said no. Lisa said no. The second thing I asked, is the militia commander the one that does General Assembly meetings? Both of them said no.
They emphatically shook their head and said no. I yield.
Exactly. Then the last thing I asked is the militia commander able to notice the people in the assembly? And you heard her response. She said no, unless it is that they're going to put on some kind of event or something, then the militia commander can notice everybody to let them know. Not doing what he's doing right now. And that's a reason why I want to make this motion is because I believe that he's not doing, or he doesn't have the training, or he doesn't know what he's really supposed to be doing, that we shouldn't be using him, especially as he's working for the district attorney, to be our militia commander. I'm just making the move on the floor.
I second the motion.
You second, Keith? Okay.
Yes, I definitely do. Thank you.
I third it.
I fourth it. And I was under the impression, because I was doing political canvassing before, I was under the impression that no one was able to hold offices of any kind in the assemblies if they were working for the de facto in any way. So how did that bypass is my question. How would that slip through?
Basically, if you take the history of what's been going on, if the people can't get in their meetings and they can take four or five people and then they can do a vote and vote them in and all that without all the people, being able to be in the meetings and voted in, you know, to vote somebody in, I would call that fraud. And I would call that deception to all the people that are in the Nevada, that are the Nevada Assembly.
Right, because I thought I was under the assumption that all counties that were standing or all counties that had active members were supposed to be able to vote on any state officials.
The deal is if you live in a county, you actually are in the state too. And if you're in the state, right, you live in a county. So the one of the things that we did in the last meeting and what I explained to everybody, and it's like this meeting right here is a union state meeting. That means everybody here is working in the capacity of the state, not of no county, not of the union state, okay? You are participating now in a state meeting, okay? And it's the Nevada Assembly meeting. That's what you're participating. This is a business meeting, okay? Everybody got the email. I sent it out to everybody or tomorrow. And I've even got several answers or people asking about it, but this is a state meeting and this is where we handle state issues and problems. And that's the reason why I'm bringing this motion up on the state meeting. And Michael and Sue and Doug and all of them was emailed. They know about this meeting. We did two emails, one on Wednesday and one today. So everybody knew ahead of time that this was a state meeting. Tamara has got emails asking questions. I'll yield and let Tamara talk about that. But go ahead, Tamara.
Okay. Does anyone want to vote on this right now?
Yeah, definitely. Most definitely. I do.
That's not wrong.
Okay, so let's do a vote.
Tamara, can you see? Yeah, let me stop sharing.
Yes.
So everybody can see the screen.
Yes.
Okay, Tamara, I did make you a co-host.
Okay.
So you should be able to see the screen and all the people Can you see everybody?
I think so. Yes.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. So we are going to vote on removing Michael Trigger Wilson, the militia commander.
Excuse me, Tamara, before you go on, we need to see your face. So in that way, it's proven that you're actually say who you are, like Rocky did.
That's a good one.
Thank you.
Let me. Oh, here I am. Okay, we're going to vote on removing Michael Trigger Wilson, the militia commander. Everyone who wants to remove Michael Trigger Wilson as a commander, please raise your hand now.
Tamara, my vote is for my wife as well. She's right here. Christine, please say yes.
Yes.
I mean, please say what you're going to say.
Yeah, aye.
Aye, yes.
This is Brian Burkhardt, aye also.
Okay.
And this is Felicitu Robertson. I also say aye.
This is Nick Cox. I also say aye.
Okay. Ray Brown, and I say aye.
Okay. Tamara, being the host, or me in my screen like it is, I can't raise my hand, so I'd say aye too.
Okay.
One thing that I'd like to note, too, if I may, is that they're all allowed to be in this meeting. We're never allowed to be in theirs. I yield.
Thank you. Please lower your hands. I got the count. Now, everybody who wants Michael...
Wait.
Oh, sorry.
Let everybody lower their hands.
Yeah, lower your hand. Nick, lower your hand. Perfect. Now, everybody who wants Michael Trigger Wilson to stay as a militia commander, please raise your hand. Okay, I don't see any. Anyone who wants to abstain, please raise your hand. Do not see any. So the results are to remove Michael Trigger Wilson as a militia commander. Yes, 14. No, 0. Abstain, 0. Rocky, do you have anything else to say?
Yes, I do. I'd like to make another motion or another move. The move is now, since he has been removed as the militia commander, that I want, and the move is that he is not allowed to use the state assembly seal or notice anybody or we'll leave it at that for now.
Does anyone second that?
I second it.
I third.
I fourth.
Does anyone want to vote on it now? Sandy, do you have a question? I see a hand up. Oh, no, hand down. Okay. Okay, so there is a vote, yes? So we are going to vote on Michael Trigger Wilson not using the seal. Is that correct?
Yes. Now, using the Nevada's seal or logo, whatever you want to call it, or be able to notice anybody without the authority of the people.
So let's vote. Anyone who agrees with Michael Trigger Wilson not being able to use a Nevada seal or logo and not giving any notices without the authority of the people, please raise your hands.
See my hand, but I said aye.
And mine too.
Christine Marie Love also says yes for him not to be able to use the seal or make those announcements unless there are emergencies.
Brian Burkhardt.
Although actually not even as an emergency because he's no longer the militia commander. So
thank you. I was going to. Thank you, Keith, for correcting that.
Oh, I love you, Fitu.
Jarrett, please lower your hands. For everyone who wants, yes?
Everybody lower their hands.
My apology. I don't know if we see the screen yet. Go ahead.
Fitu, Aaron, lower your hands.
Okay. For everyone who wants Michael Trigger Wilson to keep on sending us notices or keep using the Nevada seal or logo, please raise your hand. Anyone who wants to abstain, please raise your hand. And the results are, yes, 14, that we do not want Michael Trigger Wilson to use a Nevada seal or logo or any more notices without authority of the people. No, 0. Abstain, 0. Anything else, Rocky, you have to say?
Not right at this moment. Let me think a minute.
Would you like to explain about the stamps?
Yes. What I noticed in the recording secretary stamps are the ones that were done from the original group of recording secretaries are incorrect. And I would like to make a move to correct those stamps and to be able to replace everybody's stamps that are incorrect. And I'll explain to you, everybody, how they're not correct. If you remember, I showed you the fictitious name, and it said the Nevada Assembly. On those stamps, let me see. Actually, even on the fictitious name one, let me share the screen again real quick, so you can understand what I'm saying. Okay, you see this red stamp at the top where it says Nevada Assembly Land and Soil Jurisdiction?
Yes.
It needs to say the Nevada Assembly Land and Soil Jurisdiction. That is what our fictitious name is. That is who we are. So they didn't know, you know, back then maybe they didn't know it or whatever, but in everything, even in our seal, needs to have Anna. If I play that video even farther, Anna explains that, because I asked her about the name, and even Lisa said that we have to make sure we put the "the" in front of our name, and the "the" is capitalized, the T in the "the" is capitalized for the Nevada Assembly. So I'm making a move that we correct that problem, and that whatever's a recording secretary has the wrong stamps, that we replace them for them. And
I second the move.
I third.
I fourth.
Okay, does anyone want to vote on it right now?
I say the motion to move to a voting.
I second the motion.
Okay, so we are going to vote on correcting the seal. Instead of Nevada Assembly, it will be saying the Nevada Assembly. For everyone who agrees with that, please raise your hand.
Tomorrow, count my hand is raised.
Okay.
Christine,
mine too, Tamara, if you can't see it.
Christine Marie Love is a yes vote on that as well.
Brian Borkart, yes.
Now keep your hands up, she's been counting.
Yeah. Go ahead, lower your hands, please. For anyone who does not agree with correcting our seal to the Nevada Assembly, please raise your hand. For anyone who abstains, please raise your hand. The results on the vote to correct the seal to the Nevada Assembly, yes, 12, no, 0, abstain, 0. Anything else?
Not at this time that I can think of. Do you have anything else for us?
Yes, I have received an email, and unfortunately I don't think Robert is on the call right now, but I would like see if we can have him hopefully come on the next call or in-person meeting, and then he can explain the email and talk about that. Would that be okay?
I would agree. Anybody else?
I agree.
Sure. Definitely what we want to hear.
Okay, Robert, next meeting. And this is all that I have for today's meetings. Our next meeting will be July 11th. It will be in person and also online at 3:30 p.m., so we have time to set up. You can always come and help us. We will never say no. And it will be at the Rainbow Library, and email will be also sent out. Does anybody want to do a motion to adjourn the meeting for today?
First ask if there's any other new business.
Questions? Anything?
I want to hopefully be informed when there's any information on what that brother and sister that actually purchased something of value in Africa. We're seriously wanting to know who that was, what they got, and actually if that, you know, what the whole deal was, that they actually received some value from the digital currency that we have. I'd still like to find out some more information, and we can talk offline about that too at some point. Love you guys. I yield.
They haven't been on the coordinator call for me to ask, but as soon as they are and I can ask them, I will do that.
I'm grateful, Rocky. Thank you. I would imagine there's somebody in North Carolina, like their coordinators, a coordinator there. I used to know one of them when my sister-in-law lived there, to ask them, since those folks, I think, were from North Carolina. Just curious, because, I mean, if we can get, you know, free baskets or something for using our AFDs, then I'd love to even get some free baskets from Africa just to get the ball rolling. I yield. Thank you, guys. Great job tomorrow.
Thank you.
Any other new business, or somebody want to say something?
Yeah, I just wanted to, Rocky, I emailed you the other day. I was just wondering, did anybody else see on their accounts that if you put something on your prosperity card, it went from pending to executed? Don't know what that means, but something's happening.
Yes, because we transfer some money into the prosperity card, and it's being executed. So that means we're pretty close. The only thing that we're waiting for right now is that the app that they were talking about is the AFD1 EWA. So when you see that coming in, folks, celebrate.
July 4th, I'm predicting manifesting.
So what now? Can you say that last part again? If we see what going into the prosperity card, because I've been looking at that as well. If we see what. And where would we see that? I yield.
No, they're going to send out a notice. I don't know if everybody is on the Telegram, but most of their notices are being posted on the Telegram. So I checked it every day, but the last one that came, that me and Aaron, it was like a few months ago. If you see the AFD1 EWA app, that means the prosperity card will be activated. You utilize seeing our QCR code, QRC code.
Do me a favor, sister. You give Brother Love a jingle if that comes up and I don't see it first.
No problem. I'll call everybody at midnight.
Come on. I receive it. I don't care what time that call would be. You can call me at midnight anytime, sister.
Right. All right. Bless everybody.
I'm up. Steak's on me.
Hey, I love you guys, man. Everybody hang in there. Stay together. Know we're a family. So we're here for each other. Brother,
Keith,
love you.
Keith, I'd like to ask you to see if you can close our meeting with a prayer before we adjourn. Thank you.
Oh, I'd love to do that. Tomorrow I would check with the commander that's leading the meeting first and see if tomorrow has any more business or if she wants us to go ahead and close out our meeting. I yield.
I think we're good to close out our meeting. Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for clarity, Lord. We thank you so much for the work that Rocky, Tamara, our leaders, Fitu, all of our leaders are doing for us, Father God. We just want to thank you, Lord, for your continued love and mercy and guidance. Again, we pray. We do ask, Lord, please send thy precious Holy Spirit, which is the power here on earth. Again, I'm reminded, Father God, that the most miracles in the Bible happen in the book of Acts, and that's when Jesus was already gone up to heaven. But he left us with the Holy Spirit. And the most miracles, even Peter's shadow healed someone.
Amen.
And I just believe, Father God, that that when we loved each other, that's when the miracles happened. When we took care of each other like a family, we loved each other, and miracles are on their way, I believe, for us And I say these things and bless all of these brothers and sisters on this call, their families, their finances. Bless us, Father God, with your special protection. And we love you with all of our hearts, and we love each other. And I say these things in the mighty name of Yeshua, Jesus the Christ. So be it.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Keith.
Thank you, Keith.
Thank you.
Love you guys.
Love you guys. Love good
you,
night.
You guys have a good
night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, guys.
Oops.